This episode of the Concierge CPA is brought to you by Unison Globus. Delegate and build a reliable and sustainable team beyond outsourcing with Unison Globus.
Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of the Concierge Accountant Program and Tax Plan IQ software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. We discuss their path to excellence, their daily habits, and what influences them and their work. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. Stick around till the end of the show. We'll reveal how you can be our next guest. Let's go, y'all.
Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, your host. I have Alexandra Constance with us today, and she is with Unison Globus, which is a outsourced provider of accounting services and people, which is very, very necessary in today's world. I met her through, her father, Charles, who is an executive over at Unison Globus and a wonderful, wonderful person. He had me on for a women's panel last year. I was very appreciative of their company's supporting and backing of women's rights and Women's Day and women empowerment. And even better to meet his beautiful, wonderful daughter who has come in to help them with their marketing and sales side of things. So welcome. Tell us a little bit more about you.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast today. And your kind words. I'm really excited to, you know, further express to your listeners what our objectives are as a company. We are based in Coral Springs, Florida, but work with accounting businesses in North America, the UK, and Europe since 2006. And we're here to assist with the growth and profitability objectives of firms who need help with dedicated, skilled talent and staffing their firms.
Awesome. Now, how did you come into the fold of this role? And, you know, what really jazzes you about it?
Yeah, so my natural progression in joining the company was through my father's involvement, just as a familial relation, I would get insights into, you know, the long-term growth that envision that he had for the company as well as with their upper management team. And I felt like my background in branding and international business could be a value add as we continue to grow as a company. And I was excited to be given the opportunity to join the team and work with our office in India as well as our USA onshore team in, you know, better catering our services to our current clients and marketing the brand for attracting new clients as well.
Awesome. Yeah. And I mean, we all know since COVID hit, we've been trending in a bad direction when it comes to staffing. The shortages are at an all-time high. It doesn't look like the work's going anywhere. So I personally have been advocating for outsourcing and offshoring. There's a lot of cultural differences that you do have to work through whenever you offshore, but there are definitely some efficiencies and cost effectiveness that I don't think that you can ever find in the U.S. Tell us a little bit more about what that trend is looking like and how y'all fill that gap.
I think, first off, it comes down to productivity. How can you improve your current operations? And if you have more people contributing to your objectives in a cost-effective way, I think that it can be really positive. Our goal is to have our team members join our team as well in a partnership that feels like they aren't offshore, you know, and I think that introduces a really trusting relationship between our clients and our offshore team that's built over time. You know, it's just a back and forth, and we work in our clients' systems. We get to know their teams on a personal level and, you know, remove that boundary of it just being like a machine and more so a person on the other end of the screen. So I think that's how we're able to achieve trust amongst our clients. And that's something that's very important for us.
I have to admit, when I first started my own practice, I was all about just tasks, and like didn't want to think about the people, didn't want to be a leader, didn't want to be a manager. And that really kind of implodes on you, because at the end of the day, it is all about people. And as you grow your team and your clientele, it folds out from being all about the client is right to making sure that your team is taken well care of. And the fact that they're relying on you for, you know, their day-to-day resources and responsibilities. So I kind of looked at it a little backwards in the beginning with like, oh, if I outsource this work, I don't really need to have a particular person assigned to this. I just want the task done. But I found that it all comes together so much more beautifully if you do have that assigned resource and you get to know the person as if they're on your team. And so I really like that about what y'all do. Another thing that I think is really neat about you that a lot of other outsource companies don't do is you provide kind of the full gamut of types of services that your team can provide. So you've got tax prep, right, and the compliance side of things, but then you also have the bookkeeping and accounting. And I run into so many offshore companies that are only doing the bookkeeping. I can't find anyone that does like tax prep. And so it's been really hard for firms to find people to fill those positions. How do you find people, and, you know, how do you educate them and make sure that they're a really good fit for these roles?
Yeah, I mean, outsourcing is something that we are not the pioneers of. Our firm has been in business for 20 years, but a lot of the big companies have been outsourcing remote staff for years as well.
And so yeah,
that's where the education base comes in some of these countries. And then we also offer, you know, and encourage continuing to pursue education amongst our team members. But we really just try to tailor to the needs of our clients. There's nothing that we can't figure out to be able to help with. I mean, we have 400 very skilled individuals who are eager to work and willing to learn. And I think that's a large component as well, is that our team wants to be able to grow to your needs as a client. And so we try to find pairings amongst our employees that work really well with our clients, and then continue to just get feedback and listen to what people are needing. Something that I'm really excited we will begin to explore further is, currently we offer services for a 12-month contract, whether that be full-time or part-time staffing, but we're really looking into being able to cater to different cyclical needs for the accounting professionals who maybe don't need someone 12 months of the year, but could really use assistance at different heightened season times. And so I think that's something that's unique and something that we will hopefully be able to cater to more as we continue as a company.
Yeah. So is that kind of a bigger initiative that you're working on this year?
Yes, absolutely. It's something that, through feedback from our current clients and prospective clients as well, we've listened to and want to be able to introduce in our offerings, hopefully within the next year.
That's great. I love that. Yeah, I always tell firms, you know, plan for the worst when you're at your best. So when it comes to staffing, always be recruiting. Have an outsource company as your backup at the least, right? At least do some interviews and figure out where you jive, if there's good cultural fit and a core values fit and whatnot, and then have that backup because bad things do happen. I mean, your main staff member might go terminally ill or something awful happens. And it just kills a practice and firm and the owner when things like that do occur. So it's really great to have those backup options. You mentioned, I think there was another initiative that you were talking about that y'all were coming out with. Was it around those more service lines or was it around the seasonal work that you just mentioned?
The seasonal work, but as well, we're beginning to offer complimentary trials.
Okay.
To give people the opportunity to test our services and build that trust that I was mentioning earlier in our conversation to begin to, you know, get to know your firm and its needs as well as how our team works on a smaller scale without long-term commitment. And so I think that's also a wonderful way to maybe be able to feel comfortable taking on outsourcing for the first time or outsourcing with us for the first time at Unison Globus.
Yeah.
Or additionally, having the experience with our company so that when in the future something, unfortunately, if it does go unexpectedly, you have us as a resource in your back pocket and feel confident moving forward with using our team in your time of need.
Mm-hmm. So what does a trial look like? Do they give you one tax return to prep or one bookkeeping engagement? What does that look like?
It's dependent on, the firm's needs, but several returns, just as a trial basis, and you can see how we work in your systems, but with no long-term commitment.
Okay, gotcha. Now, during my doctorate in leadership that I'm just wrapping up, we study kind of international cultural barriers, and it was interesting. All of your workers are in India, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct. We do have a U.S. team, a business development and sales team that's onshore. We work with client relations, but the accounting, tax prep, bookkeeping, all that work is done remotely. Mm-hmm.
So I remember something that I was like a big aha moment for me because, like you mentioned before, the big four and larger firms have been using outsourcing, offshoring for a long time. I worked at Deloitte, and right before I left around 2005, they were kicking off a India overseas prep initiative for the high net worth department that I was in. And so I was kind of in charge of working with the report there, and I had no idea what I was doing because I was very, very young. And there was this one particular characteristic that I couldn't understand from my cultural perspective, why someone would do this. And it felt like they are lying, which was just saying yes, 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 like I understand, or yes to everything I say when they didn't. But if you just do a little bit of research on the Indian culture, it's actually them just agreeing with you to note respect in a way, right? But it's not necessarily them saying, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about and I know exactly how to do this. And so that was a huge eye opener and awakener for me to learn, like, due to me just not having the knowledge or resources, I interpreted something as being dishonest when really it's just a cultural norm that you need to get used to. What are your thoughts around that? Have you noticed things like that yourself? And how do people tend to deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really interesting antidote from your personal experience. I think on both ends of the spectrum, when you're interacting with someone from a different country, there are going to be things that arise that are culturally different. And the most important way to navigate that is to ask one another questions and give feedback. And that's something that we really encourage everyone to participate in on both ends. So in that instance, if there is a misunderstanding, to just ask the question and know that it's okay to, and give genuine and honest feedback, to work towards like the best communication style that relationship can have. So I think we work through that on a case-by-case basis, but generally, if people feel comfortable asking questions as well as giving feedback, it's something that's really easy to navigate.
Yeah, that's like perfect advice. When in doubt, just ask, right? I mean, yeah. I doubt I did that at the time because I was a know-it-all in my early 20s, and I'm probably just complaining to other people in the office, like, they told me they knew how to do this and they didn't. And, you know, you just kind of build on these like stereotypical notions of how people are, when really I probably should have just been like, hey, you said yes as if you understood this, but it didn't happen. What's our disconnect, right? And there's your solution. Yeah.
And that's a big part of my current role with Unison, is to gather feedback from current clients and be able to share that with our team and use it to improve our practices. And that's something we can always continue to work on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Are there any other kind of particular examples that come up when you're talking to firms about like little minor miscommunications like this that can be easily worked out, or does it just vary?
I think it varies. Like I said, we want our staff to feel like they are part of your team. And so each relationship is unique. And I think each company culture is unique. So when one of our staff members joins your company culture, that's another nuance that's outside of just being a different country. It's another company, and how workflow and communication style works within your firm. You know, we navigate that as well, but it really just comes down to strong communication, and we try to collaborate with our team offshore as well as onshore to really make sure that there's a comfortable environment to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Are there particular things that you're seeing make a firm really successful with this offshoring relationship versus like, oh man, I don't think this is going to work out? Like just documenting their core values, for example, is something that a lot of firms don't do, but it's important. Like you said, every culture is different. Every company is different. And if you're not expressing what's important to you as an executive or owner of a company, then people can't read your mind, right?
I probably sound like a broken record saying this, but it really comes down to communication. And I think you're going to get as much as you put into it.
Yeah.
So if you want to optimize the talent that you're given and that resource, then if you put more energy into their development, I think you receive more in return. So it's really as much as you want to get out of that team member. If you just want to give them the work and then do the review and move forward, that can be successful. But if you really want to continue to grow with that person, you have the opportunity to, but it's really down to how much you want to invest as a firm or as a team leader or owner.
Mm-hmm. And I think I read a statistic, it's a few years old, so it's probably increased with the way that inflation is hit and whatnot. But I believe like a bad hire can cost 40 to 60K plus for a firm, which is a huge impact for smaller companies. Do y'all do any like personality testing? Or I know y'all have this kind of really cool educational program where you really invest to make sure that people are knowledgeable in what they're doing. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, we do have an interview process that goes on prior to you onboarding any of our team members. And so part of that experience is trying to assess compatibility based on our team members' profiles. So you'll go through what's essentially like a resume and their background, and then we'll set up Zoom calls to get to know them as individuals. And then you can select who you think would be the best resource for your team. Again, it's not like you're sending us the work that you need done and then there's a closed curtain and you don't know who's completing it. It's more like onboarding someone to your team that we're providing to you. However, if there is a case of incompatibility, we have enough resources to restructure where we can move our team around. You know, if you have an experience working with someone and it doesn't gel, and that doesn't mean that someone's not capable on either end, it just maybe it's not the right fit. We have, you know, staff in abundance, which is not always the case in the U.S. to be able to provide you with a different resource in a timely manner. And, you know, we can take care of all of those HR nuances on our end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nice. And how do you compare to like hiring someone in the U.S. when it comes to costs and whatnot?
Without fully disclosing our pricing offering,
sure.
I do think it's not comparable to the cost to hire talent in the United States. And fortunately, we're able to provide a much more cost-effective solution for your business.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So if someone wanted to talk to Unison Globus about exploring opportunities, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I can share with you my direct contact details.
Awesome.
And I am happy to put any of your listeners in touch with someone from our team.
Okay.
So this is the fast track to starting those conversations.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds great. So let me take a step back. I love to always ask people kind of what their favorite inspirational book or TEDx or something like that is that's kind of inspired you and you think that everyone needs to go drop everything and read or watch right after this podcast interview. Is there a particular thing that comes to mind for you?
So right now I've just started reading The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Okay.
In full transparency, I've really struggled with reading lately. I am an avid reader, or I have been over years, but in recent months, I just can't really stick to books that I've been picking up. And I'm really enjoying this because it's not your typical motivating book of steps that you can kind of improve your habits. It's more an anthology of short stories and case studies. So it's just something that I can go to in smaller increments to read. And for me, I've really, really enjoyed it. So I would recommend it highly to anyone who is an avid reader or someone who doesn't maybe have time to read a full book in one or two sittings right now, or, you know, is like myself struggling to find excitement from reading right now. So that's my recommendation, but I would speak to that further in productivity habits. I'm finding that it's good not to force things just because you've mentally categorized something as effective because you've heard someone else say, this is what works for me. I think for myself, the way that I've been able to improve my quality of work and productivity and habits has been taking a slower approach, but really understanding what I enjoy and where I feel energized. And, you know, lately that's been walking and going outside. So I carve out, you know, time in my day between meetings to go outside for a walk. And I'm able to compartmentalize my day. And for me, that really has been a game-changing approach to how I work best.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that. So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. You just have to kind of find like what really works for you. Sometimes I'll group. I actually hate working out. And that's tough. Like people don't typically say that because you see people that host podcasts and are all over the board. And they're like, you have to work out to like be at peak performance. And I can't stand it. So I try to kind of group it with something I really like. So I love learning and I love particular shows like Love is Blind or some of those silly shows on Netflix. And so I'll only allow myself to watch those or listen to my books on like 1.5 times so that they go quickly when I'm doing yoga or working out. So grouping the stuff I hate with the stuff I love kind of helps me. It reminds me a little bit of like you taking your walks and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I don't want to wake up at 5:30 a.m. And that's okay because I know I work best when I'm rested. Mm-hmm. Or there's days where I feel really rejuvenated from my workouts and days where I don't. So I just take a day off. And as long as I'm making a consistent to-do list of things that I need to get done and prioritizing them, I'm finding that it's okay to tailor my habits. For me, it's been really effective. But again, that kind of goes to it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. Give us a little more insight into you. Like, is there kind of a life lesson that you've learned that you could share with our listeners and viewers that you think is really important, or something those lines that or quote that you love, something like that?
Oh gosh, wow. I feel like that's somewhat weighted of a question, but I feel like I can tie it into what I've just shared. And truly in the past couple of years, I've learned to just be a bit easier on myself. I really think goal setting is something that's so important, but when you're erring on the side of perfectionism, mm-hmm. We can all be our own worst critics.
Yes.
And I feel like I definitely struggled with feeling like I was never doing enough.
Okay.
As much as I would achieve, and just constantly chasing more and more and more, and finding a way to pare that down and kind of celebrating accomplishments or new growth without being hypercritical of myself has been something that has greatly impacted my personal trajectory.
Yeah, that's awesome. Was there a particular instance that happened that got you there, or was it just kind of small events and you had a realization like, man, I need to be more grateful for the small things and not focus on the negative?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't one instance that compounded everything, but I think I absolutely struggled, or still do sometimes struggle with anxiety and that feeling of just being worried about whether or not I've done enough or done enough correctly. And something that actually my father has always said is, you know, assess the situation and you know see what you can do in the moment. And if you can do anything, don't let it bother you. And so I've tried to implement that just into every aspect of my life. If I'm at an airport and I miss my flight, mm-hmm. I because it's delayed or the connection, or, you know, it's just some things are out of our control and that's okay. And so we work towards improving the things that we can and then not focusing on the things that, you know, are out of our control.
For sure. That reminds me of a prior guest I had recently, Julie Smith. She recommended, I don't know what the adult version of the book is called, but there's a kid version called The Energy Bus. And I bought it for my kids who are 7 and 10, and we've been reading it a lot. And it's focusing on the positives and not letting like negative energy in, but also if something negative does happen, focus on like what the lesson learned is. Mm-hmm. Or I like to think, if I just tripped and scraped my ankle a little bit, well, now I know that I need to be careful in that area, because next time maybe I would have tripped and hit my head and had a concussion, you know? So it could have been a lot worse, right? So I definitely can empathize with that motto. I like that a lot. What's a kind of a productivity hack or something that you do in your day-to-day that helps you be more efficient?
Definitely going back to compartmentalizing my day, mm-hmm. Setting realistic time goals. So I will say, I need to get this done. How long do I think it will take? Mm-hmm. And give myself a time frame of when I need to complete it by, whether it's a hypothetical or a real timeline that I'm trying to meet, just creating that structure allows me to do things like walk in the middle of the day, or, you know, have a moment to have a coffee, and then reset and go. I find that's the best way that I'm able to be productive, is to just compartmentalize my day, set timelines for when I want to complete tasks by. And then sometimes if I realize I have a lot on my calendar or on my schedule, then delegating things or asking for help when I do need it.
For sure. So are you saying you kind of like give yourself a deadline? So, okay, I know I have to finish this particular project. I'll give myself 45 minutes for that, which is a realistic mm-hmm. expectation. And then at the 45 minute mark, I better be done, kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And if I'm not done, then reassess. But yeah. I, you know, because that does happen, and that kind of plays back into not everything can go as we plan always, but giving myself time frames of what I want to work within, and, you know, prioritizing tasks. If it's something that I don't want to leave until Friday, but it doesn't need to be completed until Friday, maybe I only spend 30 minutes on it on Monday and Tuesday, and then focus on something that needs to be completed earlier on throughout the day prior, but then carving out 2 hours on Thursday, if that makes sense.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I'm a huge advocate of time blocking and structured weeks, but you're kind of taking it to the next level, which I realized I had to do as well. If you're an overthinker at all, which it sounds like you and I might have some commonalities there,
yeah.
You can just overthink any project to death, right? And so maybe if I'm researching a new app, I love like researching, inventing, like all these ideas come to my head. I give myself a deadline, like, okay, look, you have 10 minutes to look into the 5 different applications that might be good for the task you're doing at hand, and then you're done. And then it just kind of like keeps you on track, right? To not just completely go off the handle that day or that hour, right?
Absolutely. And if, you know, I create something or work on something and then it later needs to be refined, that's okay. But sometimes I think you can go in circles, and it's positive to be decisive and to come to a completion and move forward with the next task, which can be more challenging in a creativity capacity,
of course,
versus something that's maybe numbers-based.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. Well, as we kind of come to a close at the top of the hour, I do like to ask if there's any particular kind of challenge or concern that you're going through that we could do kind of like a little mini coaching session about. Is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, thank you for opening the opportunity to have somewhat of a session coaching with you. I think this is so exciting. We're currently as a company working on rebranding, as I've mentioned, and also really focusing a lot of efforts on our website. And I think our current website reflects maybe more of those cultural differences that we've prior touched on, and we'd like to create a cohesiveness in really catering to our clients and prospective clients for making it a more user-friendly experience. Right now, we have so much information on our website. I think I'm working with our marketing team and developers, and there was maybe 126 pages of information that we've condensed to 25 pages.
That's amazing.
So that's just the start of, our revamp of everything. But I guess just what you would recommend in this process of launching a new website.
Well, I think my recommendations would circle back to something you said earlier, which is asking for feedback. So, as you're going, and people love to help. You know, we feel like we're burdening others when we ask, can you take a look at this or whatever? But people actually really like to be helpful. And I'd be happy to take a look at your draft site as well. So feel free to email it to me. But just ask for feedback. And I think simple is better. I think that over the years, websites, and I've been there too, like it's become so overwhelming or overloaded with information, when really, like in most sites, people go to the homepage, your pricing page, and then maybe the about you page, right? So I think it's important to be clear and transparent as you can with pricing. I love seeing people's real life pictures on websites. Mm-hmm. So, because that's what makes us human, right? And the more we move into this electronic AI world, it's going to be even more important to show that you are human beings. So I would show pictures of, you, your family, the team, pictures of the India office. I think people are always curious, like, what does it look like over there, right? And so you could probably feature some stuff like that and just make it really visual, which I think a lot of people are more visual learners anyways, right?
Yes, I think that's phenomenal input and something we'll definitely be able to implement and have some of that in the works so far, because I do think it's important to show our facilities, and we'd like to incorporate more video. And so that's something our team has been working on. But I really love your suggestion of just sharing actual photographs of, our team and them in the offices, because in the past we have reverted to more of those stock images that maybe aren't as representative of who our actual team is and who our client base is either.
Yeah. People want to see behind that veil a little bit. And I get this with accounting firms I work with as well. They are so analytical and big thinkers. And so they're all about the numbers on their website or, the words. And at the end of the day, most people just want to kind of see who they're working with, even if it's a little informal. I think that's okay. So yeah, I mean, hopefully that helps out a little bit. But yeah, I'd be happy to take a look at it and provide feedback. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I mean, as long as you put intention behind it, there's, kind of nothing you can't do, right?
Thanks, Jackie. I would love to take you up on that in the future. And hopefully when anyone listening to this podcast goes and looks at our new website after it's been launched, it can be reflected of some of these suggestions.
Yeah. So what is your website if they want to go check it out?
It's I may have included an extra W there.
That's okay. We know what you're talking about.
unisonglobus.com.
Okay, perfect. So unisonglobus.com, Globus with a yes. U-S at the end, which I used to say yes. Global, so I have to be very careful of that.
It's okay.
People can go check it out, and then we'll have your contact information for everyone as well. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about with our audience today, or do you feel like we, you know, got through a lot of good topics?
No, I think we got through a lot of great topics, and again, just thank you so much for having me on to share this conversation with you and your listeners.
Yes, it was really fun, and I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to spill the beans that this is the first podcast that Alexandra has done. She did an amazing job, didn't she? And I'm so honored. So thank you for being here, and to many more to come in your future. I'm sure you're going to have an amazing career ahead of you. So thank you for being
here. Thank you so much, Jackie. I'm honored to get to share this first podcast experience with you, and thank you for making it so fun and easy. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do this with me today.
Of course. All right. Well, from the Concierge CPA, y'all have a wonderful day, and we'll see you later. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.